This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our actions, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So, teacher says to the child, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the child says, "Happy." And the teacher says to the child, "Oh, honey, I think you misunderstood my question." And the child says, "Well, beg your pardon, ma'am, but I think maybe you misunderstand life." I figured that we needed a little levity after that gospel. It's pretty heavy duty, right? So why in the world would we have a gospel like that just as we're beginning the Advent season, just as we're beginning the preparations, just as we're beginning a brand new year? In the church, today starts a whole new year. We were reading Mark in last year. Now we're going to be reading a lot about Luke, a lot from Luke. Then the next year, we go back to Matthew, and John is sprinkled throughout. So this is the beginning of a new interpretation, a new reading. And we also are preparing for the coming of the Christ child, right? In the next 4 weeks. So why in the world, when all around us you see people kind of humming Christmas songs and maybe starting to decorate, we're starting to light the Advent wreath, you're thinking about family and friends and maybe gifts, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. So why in the world would we have this kind of a doomsday apocalypse story to begin? Well, why indeed? It's absolutely perfect that we begin this way. This is our wake-up call. This is a call from Christ to be alert, to look for that Christ child in all things. And throughout the Bible, Jesus said over and over and over again, "Fear not." Last week, the words were, "When you see things happening, do not be alarmed. Fear not, for I am with you. For I am with you." Jesus is wanting us to recognize the real meaning of the word apocalypse here, which actually means an unveiling. The unveiling of truth, the unveiling of hope, the unveiling of how we are supposed to be living our lives, to be praying and giving thanks in all things, hope in all things. Just like we see hope, can't see it behind the screen there. But each Sunday of Advent is dedicated to another focal point, and this week is hope. Is hope. Last week we did a similar talk about this, remember, about being grateful in all things, and several of you were able to share moments in your life right now that are really, really challenging, and yet you can be grateful. I shared something, if you remember, that I came home a week ago Saturday night, walked in my closet, and all the shelves were on the floor. I had had a leak, there was water in the closet, and I was giving thanks that I was going to have a new closet and new shelves and new paint on the wall. Well, the plot has thickened, or wetted, as the case may be. My new best friend, Tony Pettick, who many of you know, who is a member here, is a carpenter, and he came to visit to evaluate the situation, and it's way worse than I thought. Not only do I need a new closet, he's got to take down the shelves that are connected to the wall that I thought was all I needed. Those have to come down. New ones put up. The whole ceiling has to be replaced because it was leaking there. The sidewall has to be replaced. And he looked up in the attic, went up inside the attic, and he says, I think you're going to need a new air conditioner. I was like, really? And he said, yeah, and in the beginning of the ductwork, there's some mold, I think, that started. I was like, so I'm trying not to make this first world problem into the end of the world. I'm going to repeat that. I'm trying not to make this first world problem into the end of the world. And so I'm praying and I'm praying. And so we call the AC guy. The AC guy comes over. This is all on Friday. Tony was kind enough to come back and sit with us. And he wanted to be there when the AC guy came. And so we all sit down at my kitchen table. And sure enough, the AC guy says, yeah, you need a whole new system. You need complete duct work throughout the whole place. So I'm like, okay, so my heart's starting to pound a little bit, and I know that he's about to bring out the paper with the bottom line, right? So I'm looking and I'm waiting, and he puts it on the table, so I look at the bottom line, and it's this huge amount of money. Thank goodness I have insurance that's going to at least cover the damage part of it. Thank you, Brent Langley. Anybody want a good insurance agent? And so I'm sitting there, he puts it out, I look at the bottom line, and I take a deep breath, you know, not remembering in my head to be grateful, so this is how God kicks in, and I kid you not, the guy is like this, and I notice this, I'm kind of distracted now, everything else he's saying about the details is just becoming a blur, and I notice he's got this big tattoo on the side of his arm, and I'm trying to read it upside down, and I kid you not, wait for it. It said carpe diem. It said carpe diem, seize the day. And so then I took a deep breath and I went, okay, God, I get it. I get it. Seize the day. And then I said, and I really couldn't read it well, and I just wanted to make sure. And I said, does that tattoo on your arm say carpe diem? And he said, yes, ma'am. And he was getting up by now. And he said, never know what's going to happen. Got to live each day. He was the greatest guy. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. Speaking of that, I have a new friend in my development. His name is Martha. And she and I are getting to be friends, along with her other friend, Eileen. And I went to dinner with Martha last week, and we're sitting and having a wonderful conversation. And she told me this amazing story that is perfect for today's gospel. It's absolutely perfect for today's message. So I asked her to come and tell us the story because it would be much better coming from her. You don't have to listen to me, blah, blah, all the time. And so she is here today. And so as she's coming forward, come on up. As she's coming forward, I'd like to tell you how I met her, which is another, come on up. This is Martha, everybody. Yay, Martha. So the way that we met was that 2 years ago, I believe it was, or last Awakening Soul, a year ago.
It was 2 years ago.
Here, I'll give you this. It's live. So 2 years ago, she went to the conference that I attended at the beginning of this month I told you about called Awakening Soul. And Charles is always there doing the music with Fran. And he was there 2 years ago. I wasn't there, but Charles was there, and Martha was there. So Charles comes home from the conference, and he said, I have a story for you. I met this woman at the conference, and we got to talking, and we were saying, where are you from? And she said, where are you from? And he said, South Florida. And she said, oh, I just bought a house in South Florida. Tell me if I'm getting this wrong. Just bought a house in South Florida. Oh, where do you live? And Charles says, Delray Beach. Oh, I think I'm right near there, but it's a place you probably wouldn't hear about called Ocean Ridge. He said, I know Ocean Ridge. Where in Ocean Ridge? She tells him the name of the development. He said, my friend lives in that same development, and it was me. So you just never know. So thank you for being willing to come and share this beautiful story with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. We didn't plan all this, you know. I didn't plan to meet Charles when I went to Awakening Soul, but I'm certainly glad that God had it planned. And also, he had it planned that I should meet my new friend, Eileen, as well. So she's, say, wave hi, Eileen. Okay, so I'm here to tell you the story of my friend, Don. And he had an unexpected relationship in his life. and I'm going to tell you about that. He woke up one day and he didn't feel so good. You know, he felt like he had the chills and maybe, you know, a cold or a fever or flu, something was coming on. But he had a big event that night planned. He was had an alumni dinner planned for his alma mater, Georgia Tech, and a lot of people were coming into town. So he followed through with that commitment, still wasn't feeling very good, went to bed, got up the next morning, had to go to the emergency room. He was in complete renal failure. His kidneys had totally shut down. And the ultimate reason was never determined. They think it might have been E. coli, or he may have come into contact with some kind of food poisoning, but it was a desperate situation. And he was in intensive care for a month, and they also did some treatments to try to revive the kidney. I'm not a medical person at all, but he was given some kind of infusions to try to revive the kidney. But that didn't happen either. So he was immediately put on dialysis, and for the next 2.5 years, he was on kidney dialysis. And so he didn't go far away from home. He, you know, he had very little energy. And he was on a list for a cadaver transplant, but it was, they were telling him it was going to be around 8 years. And so in the course of this 2.5 years, he was, you know, he said he saw people coming in and, you know, pretty soon they would be coming in with a cane and then a wheelchair. And you know, it wasn't a good situation for him. So he was sitting on his porch one morning, and a man goes riding by on a bicycle, and he stopped. This man's name is Mike, and he said, "I'm looking for work. I just lost my job. Do you have any yard work that you need done?" And Don said, yeah, that he did. And so Mike started to come and help him, and Don said that he would work a little bit with him, but there wasn't very much he could do because of his energy level. And one day, Don's wife said to Mike, "Don't let him work very much because, you know, he's very sick." And Mike said, "Well, what's going on?" And Don told him, you know, that he was on kidney dialysis. So Mike said to him that he was a universal donor. And they discovered that Don and Mike had the same blood type. And Mike offered, you know, to give blood for him if he ever needed it. So after a couple months, they're still working together. Mike invited Don to go to a Bible study with him. And he said, "There's only 3 men in the Bible study. We meet on Thursday mornings. Will you come? You'll be the 4th person." And so Don said that he would go, and he said he was open to any kind of healing that was, you know, possible to him. He had gone to his family, and he has twin sisters. One who was a slight match was not healthy enough to be a donor. His sister, who was healthy enough, was not a match for him, and a cousin who also volunteered to give him a kidney was not a match. So he goes to this Bible study, and each week they prayed for the person on their left. And he said that they got to know each other pretty well in this small circle. And after 3 months, Mike came to him and said, "I want to give you a kidney." And I just talked to Don this morning because I wanted to make sure that it was okay with him to share this with you. And he said he wants to tell the story as much as possible. So Don said his first words were, "Are you kidding?" You know, he couldn't believe that this total stranger who rode by his house on a bicycle was willing to give him a kidney. And he said, "Yes, I really feel called to do this. I really feel that this is what I'm supposed to do." And so they found out that Mike was indeed a match. And he was a match. I understand that there's 3 areas of criteria that you have to meet. You have to be the same blood type. as far as the antigens go, you have to have three markers that match, and there's a condition of the blood where it has to coagulate a certain way. So Mike was a match in all three of those categories, a very strong match. And so the insurance company said that they would pay, you know, for both of the surgeries, but they had to go to Cleveland Clinic. So off they go to Cleveland Clinic, and when they're completing the tests on Mike, they discover that he has a large tumor on his liver. And so they say this has to be addressed before we can even, you know, see if he could possibly donate a kidney to you. And so they did. The tumor had to be removed. Mike could not afford to have it done. Don paid for the surgery. The tumor was removed. It was benign. He gave Don a kidney, and that was 10 years ago. And as we were talking today, I get chills whenever I tell this. We were talking today, and he said not that his family, you know, his family of origin wasn't willing, but they were not matches for him. But he found a match in his spiritual family.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you. You just never know. You never know. So happy Advent. And may this Advent remind you in every day, maybe every time you hear a song or start to think about decorations or your family, may it remind you of the Christ child being born anew in every minute, within you and through you and around you. And that God's word will never, ever die. Ever. Be alert. Amen.